I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
John Clayton is the professor. He's a columnist at the Washington Post. Let's make him the giant interview.
Now, it's the giant interview, presented by King of Clean, with electrostatic cleaning, pressure washing, and much more for Memphis and the Mid-South. The King of Clean giant interview on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
Hey, John, how you doing, man? Appreciate the time.
Doing good. How are you?
Everything is good here in Memphis. You've got a piece up at the Washington Post this week, which, as a Raider fan, I have to tell you, I begrudgingly agree with. The Patriots had six titles in 18 years there with Brady. Can the Chiefs, with Patrick Mahomes, have that kind of a run?
I think it's going to be tough, but I think that they're going to have a very good run. And you can see that the management and the way things are for them, particularly having Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and the general manager, Brett Veach, all seems to be working together. And there's such a feel on that team. I mean, you can see with the three signings they have with the extensions, which, you know, keeps the core group of this team together for a pretty decent period of time, you know, they can do it. Now, again, there's still going to be the challenges. It's going to be the cap maybe going down to $175 million. You know, they're going to have to try to keep things together. But the big thing is the best players on their team, they're pretty well locked up. I mean, Tyreek Hill is locked up on his $18 million contract. Frank Clark is locked up. You know, they've got a good portion of the offensive line taken care of. So when you look at this team, it's going to be good for a period of time. But why was these Patriots successful? Well, the coach, Bill Belichick, the quarterback, Tom Brady. What's successful about the Chiefs? The quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, and the coach, Andy Reid.
This feels like it doesn't make sense question, but I wouldn't have known it unless I read your column. How is, you mentioned general manager Brett Veach, how is he the lowest paid GM in football? And with what they've accomplished, I mean, essentially, you know, along with Nagy, as you point out, discovers Mahomes, says this is the guy we need. How's he the lowest paid, and how soon is that going to change?
I think it's going to change, I would imagine, maybe before the start of the season, because that surprised me too when I found that out. Because here's the guy, because you know, both he and Nagy were able to recognize Patrick Mahomes' ability at Texas Tech. You know, first off, the two of them went to Delaware together, and they're best friends. And so I know that, as one coach told me, you know, Nagy had a man crush on Mahomes, and then as soon as these two of them started talking, Veach and Nagy, then all of a sudden, next thing you know, all these videos were going to Andy Reid, trying to say, hey, look at this guy, to a point where Andy just said, well, you guys leave me alone. I'm trying to just try to get through this season. So overall, I think what you're looking at is that in the first year, even in practice, because here you have Mahomes on the third team with a third team offense, you know, he was just tearing up the first team defense. Brett Veach knew then, it's like, I got to start learning about the cap here because I got to try to see if I can keep this guy because he is going to be the quarterback.
Having found Mahomes and been a big part of that, is Nagy as the Bears coach, you think he's already looking for the next one, John? You know, knowing the situation there with what they've got and you're looking at their future?
Yeah, you'd have to think so because, you know, can you imagine how bad he felt is that here are the Bears, they trade up to get Mitch Trubisky, yeah. And it hasn't worked out to a point where now they may have to replace him with Nick Foles. And here you look over in the trade up at the 10th spot that he helped get.
Absolutely.
In as far as their scouting report on Mahomes, and he doesn't get Mahomes. And so you got to feel bad about that. But I think that they've got to start looking to the future because I don't think the future, and maybe even the present, is Mitch Trubisky, even though he'll start the season.
We are, of course, talking to John Clayton, contributing columnist over at the Washington Post, on Twitter at John Clayton NFL. Sort of going around the league now, John. Bill Belichick has maybe teased or entertained the idea of a platoon. I feel like we would all be sort of shocked to see that Cam Newton, you know, pending his health, is probably going to be the guy. Do you think he can have a renaissance there in New England?
I mean, you can't underestimate what Bill Belichick can do, because he's so good in putting packages together, and he was able to convince Cam Newton to come there, and I think Cam's going to start for $1.75 million. And so you can see that but the losses that they have on the team. I know I wrote about this a couple of weeks ago. I don't think I've seen a roster ride as crazy as this. Here they, you know, Tom Brady decides he's not coming back, so he leaves. Then you have the situation in free agency where they lose four key players on defense. They didn't add much on the offensive side at wide receiver and tight end. And then they have the draft, and it's like, okay, that's good. And they got Cam Newton. And then the next thing you know, eight players opt out. So here they are. They're down their top four linebackers, two of their top three safeties, their right tackle, and it's just a mess. And so somehow he'll put it together, but I have to think right now you have to favor Buffalo in that division. You know, I thought maybe Cam, were it not for the opt-outs, was going to keep them maybe right a game or so ahead. I think it's going to be very tough. And, you know, if he starts thinking platooning quarterbacks, then he's talking about maybe a six-win season. I think they can get to eight, but I think that's about it.
How concerned, maybe worried is the word, should Titans fans be about the combination, John, of Frank Reich and Phillip Rivers? Are we all of a sudden going to see a Pro Bowl-like Phillip Rivers again? How good is that Colts team going to be?
I think they're going to win the division.
Wow.
Because as good as Tennessee is, and as good as Deshaun Watson is down in Houston with a lot of offensive talent, what you're looking at is, you know, Phillip Rivers is going to be playing behind the best offensive line he's ever had.
Right.
That offensive line is really good. They've got good running backs. You know, they've got T.Y. Hilton. You know, they were able to, you know, get a good draft choice at wide receiver. And then on defense, then you add one of the more dominating defensive tackles in DeForest Buckner to a defense that's young and getting better. I think that team's an 11-win team right now, and I think it's going to win the division.
Do you think Rivers is playing with a little bit? I got to imagine so, but I wonder what you, with a chip on his shoulder again. So many of us, including me, John, I'll be real honest, have sort of watched him last year and wrote him off. But I figure Frank Reich's going to show people, and Phillip, you know, they've got other ideas. Do you think that chip will be there this year? Feels like
that chip has always been there. It's never left. And so,
I hear you.
Because, you know, and here's a guy that, has nine kids, great family man, doesn't swear, but boy, is he intense on the field, because he's almost calling out the opponents on just about everything. And I know talking to Frank, what Frank ends up saying is that Phillip is so good as a leader, because they work together when Frank was the quarterback coach of the Chargers, and then eventually the offensive coordinator. And he immediately in June had total control of this team. You know, he was controlling things in the virtual meetings. Now he's getting on the field. I think he's going to have a great year.
Staying in that division, John, Deshaun Watson has said the right things, and maybe deep down, like, he's fine with the fact that DeAndre Hopkins is elsewhere. The Texans have added Randall Cobb. They've added Brandon Cooks, David Johnson. So they do have weapons, though. All of those guys are either up there in age or have extensive injury questions. But do you think we'll look back on that and it'll be a situation where, you know, maybe it's they're better than the sum of their parts and it all comes together, or did Bill O'Brien really hamstring his quarterback by trading away, you know, his top weapon?
Well, I know that he wasn't happy about the trade, because he liked Hopkins. Hopkins, you know, you saw in the NFL Network when they had the top 100, players voted him as the second best receiver in football. And yeah, he was that was the go-to guy. There's a guy that could, in any game, get 200 yards receiving. So that one didn't help. But, you know, Deshaun is very diplomatic, and he does have, you know, four receivers right now that are making an incredible amount of money. I mean, it's just remarkable to think about the $44 million that's tied up a year in the four receivers. So offensively, he's going to be fine, but defensively, that's what's going to catch up to them, and the cap's going to catch up to them next year. So at some point, They've got to get a contract for Deshaun Watson because, you know, his contract is up and he's going to make, you know, probably close to $40 million a year. But what's going to end up happening is next year they'll be out of the playoff race because they're going to have to let so many players go if the cap goes down to $175 million. So I think what Deshaun's looking at this year has to be a big one because next year is going to be tough.
We are, of course, talking to the great John Clay, the professor, contributing columnist over there at the Washington Post. He's had some up and down days in camp. I know John Gruden's very excited about him. Marcus Mariota, do you think that by the time the season is over, he is the starter in Vegas? What do you see as the future for Mariota there?
Yeah, at some point, and remember, the Raiders have a very tough opening schedule, and so that's what's going to catch up to Derek Carr, unless Derek Carr gets the ball downfield. That was something that he was reluctant to do last year, and it really irritated John Gruden to the point where he ended up, you know, giving the money at, what, $8.8 million a year over to Marcus Mariota. And then you saw Mike Mayock rave about Mariota. So I think it's inevitable that at some point, because, again, their defense is probably one more offseason away from being very good. They're better right now. I mean, they didn't have hardly anything at linebacker. Now they've got some linebackers, but they have some holes in the secondary. But I think in the end, what you're looking at is that, you know, at some point, Mariota is going to have what happened to him with Ryan Tannehill happen to Derek Carr when he takes over at some point.
I realize that right now, Chiefs' most explosive offense in football, but how realistic is the chance you think, John, that the Cowboys could be right there with them with all the weapons they've acquired, Mike McCarthy? How explosive is that offense going to be this year?
I think it's going to be very explosive because, I mean, that three receiving core is sensational. And then you got Ezekiel Elliott, you got Dak Prescott, you've got one of the best offensive lines in the league. And you got a team, you know, even though they had to cut Gerald McCoy, that's had 16 players who have been to the Pro Bowl. I mean, I think that team is loaded right now. That's why I think they'll win the division in the NFC East by at least two games. And now we'll see where they stand against San Francisco, Seattle, New Orleans, and maybe Tampa Bay as some of the best teams. I think, again, Tampa still, they're not going to catch New Orleans, I don't think. But Dallas right now has all the ability to catch anybody.
Does McCarthy have something to prove, John?
No, I don't think so. He's been a great coach. He's been a Super Bowl coach. You know, he's had great quarterbacks. And you know, he has that chip on his shoulder that he wants to get this Dallas Cowboy team to the Super Bowl and then try to win. But McCarthy's a very good coach. He's got a good staff, although I think it's interesting that it's going to be kind of weird for him not to call plays because there was only one small section of his career that he didn't. And so we'll see how long that goes. But I think right now he's a good coach and he's going to do a good job.
Yeah, I just never bought that narrative, John, that he had gotten lazy. I never bought that. And so you put that chip, you know, that talk afterwards after he leaves Green Bay, and I think you're just going to have the combination of that with that offense is going to go well together.
Yeah, understand. He's a Pittsburgh guy, and I'm a Pittsburgh guy. Pittsburgh guys aren't lazy.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Aaron Rodgers did an interesting interview with The Ringer in July, and he was very candid about sort of, you know, when the Packers trade up and they get Jordan Love, and he's sitting there and he's aging, though. I mean, again, they had a very good year last year, you'd have to say. But he was very candid, and he basically made it sound like he knows his career is not going to end in New England. Do you buy that? And how does that even look if a split happens?
Yeah, it's inevitable that it's going to be a 2-year thing for him now in Green Bay. Maybe it'll turn out to be one, but I think it's going to be two, because even when you look at the Kenny Clark contract, because he got, what, $17.5 million, but the cap numbers the first 2 years are low, then it goes into the $20 million plus range in year three. So I would have to think that, when you watch and see, okay, where can he go? You have all these quarterbacks in 1 or 2 year situations that are older quarterbacks, you know, the Ben Roethlisbergers, certainly Tom Brady, Philip Rivers, you know, and so he'll end up on one of those teams that have quarterbacks toward the end of their career. That'll be my prediction, but I think it's a 2-year thing for him, and he realizes, because again, he was through this. He got there in 2005, and with Brett Favre there, and 2 years after that, Brett Favre was gone, and he was the starting quarterback. So I'd have to think Jordan Love takes over in the third year of his quarterback.
And then what kind of year are you expecting, John, from Big Ben?
A very good year for several reasons. First off, you can see that he's trimmed down. You can see that he's shown no problems with the elbow. He's got the best defense that he's had probably in a decade, or a top five defense. And then he's got enough weapons on offense to do things. And on top of everything else, he's got the easiest schedule in one of the easiest schedules in football. Mm-hmm. And Baltimore has that. Cleveland has it. So I think he can take advantage of all the young quarterbacks he's going to go face this year and be able to beat those quarterbacks. And so what I'm looking at, that's a race right now in the AFC North where it's either going to be Baltimore or Pittsburgh, maybe both at 12 wins.
Hey, John, man, this was great stuff as always.
Thank
we appreciate
John.
The time.
Hey, thank you.
Yep. He is John Clayton. Read him at the Washington Post. He is the professor. Always do appreciate his time. We will come back. Lots more to come. We're going to be joined by Harold Rayford when we come back, as well as Jaylen Brown. I believe Jaylen Brown is going to be on with him. Jason, is that true?
That is the plan, John.
We'll talk to them about
that move.
Yeah, the move for him.
He's going to actually have a season. We'll see on Shelby County Schools.
Yep, yep. You know? All that and more when we get back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.